Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Business of Music podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about owning and growing a music business. My name is Elliot Towsley, and my business partner James Landry and I are your hosts. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on our next podcast. And to learn even more, subscribe to our YouTube channel and sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Business of Music podcast.
Welcome back, James. Now, okay, James, what's up, man? Anybody who was watching the last podcast and is now watching these new ones, if you've noticed an uptick in the overall production quality here, it's because we finally got an HD camera. We're off of Zoom, so we are playing with the big boys now. And so hopefully we're sounding a little bit clearer. I guess maybe the audio won't be impacted, but if you're watching these videos on YouTube, hopefully they start to look even more professional. So we don't just look like two idiots in a room yelling at you.
That's what we are.
That's what we are. Well, at least we're not idiots. We have some sort of idea of what we're talking about based on, you know, luckily we've been able to run over 2,000 marketing campaigns with independent artists over the last, I don't even know, 3 years now-ish. Losing track of time in the old quarantine. But yeah, so we definitely have some actual insight. I think some of the difference that separates DeNovo from a lot of other people in the music marketing space, I really feel like, is because there's anybody can be like, well, you need to have a plan. Okay, yeah, not awful advice, but okay, what's the plan? How do we build the plan? So many people on the internet, all these influencers, all these people trying to be something, what I'm getting at is, we know from experience. I was a musician for a long time. I recorded a lot of songs at really nice studios, and I just kind of threw shit at the wall and tried to see what worked. And then going back in hindsight, I realized maybe I should have gone left when I went right. I should have avoided this pothole. I shouldn't have done that. I should have done this. James comes in from another perspective of being an attorney. So now that, say, you do have something going on, you are playing shows, you are doing collaborations, you are working with producers, this, this, and that. He brought in the perspective of here's how you protect yourself and here's how we should strategize knowing X, Y, and Z. So the insight we give is through actual experience, and it's not the theory that they teach in Intro to Business at some college. And a lot of the internet marketers we see, or that I see, a lot of these people, they give you fortune cookie advice. You should have a plan. You know, Spotify should be on your side. You need fans. You need to engage with your fans. Okay. Like, yes, correct. How would you recommend going about that? So if you're a listener, if you're a musician, when you're perusing internet content like this, just be aware. Are they just telling you, are they being fancy with telling you things you already know? You need a plan, or are they telling you how to accomplish those things, or maybe tips on if you're doing this, perhaps do it this way. But if all they're telling you is you need a plan, you need to release good music, like, okay, yes, you need to eat and breathe and drink water too. Like, sweet, how much was that? How much do I need to pay you for that consultation? So long story short, at this, as I ramble at the beginning of our episode here, the insight we give is because we've actually done it before. Now, I don't have insight on how to get a number two song on the Billboard charts because I haven't done it and I haven't helped an artist do it. And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I have. Any artist who is doing something that large, it's not any one thing that got them there. So one little other thing that I see that really bothers me when I see all these shitty music marketing companies online, you always go to the testimonials, and they always say, or like it'll say clients or something, and they'll list 15 of the biggest record labels that you've ever heard of. And then like in the artists, it'll say like Lil Wayne, you know, Future, Trey Songz, the Beatles. So all these, and just because like, and they're just saying like, okay, come on. Come on. Like, and people fall for it. Like, wow, Future? uses this guy for playlist. It's only $39. Like, do you think future needs that? Come on. And it's just, the thing is, James and I found one the other day, and the name of the company was literally Atlantic Records Marketing or something like that. So they're, because they want people to see, oh, Atlantic Records, this must be some like marketing wing that they have. And the thing is people fall for it every single day. That's why these like the really scammy Spotify promotion companies, they do the same thing over and over again. They create a Facebook page. They pump a shit ton of money in to like one or two Facebook ads to get a ton of attention on a low price. And then they hammer it until enough people flag it for spam. And then they, you know, Spotify wizard was, oh, now it's spam. Facebook takes it down. So what they do is they just refresh, re-upload, and now it's Spotify Genie. And they've got a new domain and a new, and they rinse, repeat, and it's the same ad with a different logo in the corner, and they just rinse, repeat because people fall for it. Like, think about it. Would Virgin Records need some random online marketing thing that you've never heard of? Like, and they list 47 of the biggest artists you've ever heard of. Do you think Justin Bieber is scouring the internet to find a playlist or two? No. Come on, guys. And like, so just be weary of people trying to make it seem like they're way bigger than they are. They're helping more people than they are. We own it. We don't have anyone that's gone number one on Billboard because, frankly, someone who was doing enough, who had that much going on, wouldn't need a company like ours. That was a nice. Now that wasn't. I don't even think James has said anything yet. Was gonna say our plan going into this was we were gonna go right into Q&A, but now I'm on a tangent. We still got the questions we can answer, but what I'm getting at is the way we answer these questions isn't some theory of, oh, you know, well, you need a plan. Like, yes. The insight that we give is because we've actually done it to a point. Like, no, I did not get 10 million hits on my music videos when I was doing it back in the day. But I got 200,000 or 300,000, and I used it to leverage myself into getting 30 or 40 shows. And I know what is a good show, what's a bad show, how do I approach a show I'm excited about, what should I be asking for, what do I need, you know, how do I market that? It's not just this bullshit, like, of, it's almost like these people who are financial professionals, but they're not rich. Like, or like a mechanic who can't fix his own fucking car. And the other day, okay, one last thing as I'm ranting here. There's this lady who said something to us on De Novo on our Instagram because she like disagreed with one of our premises on something, being engaging or something. And her Instagram page was like a little over a year old. She had posted 150 times and she had 300 followers. And her content was nice. It looked fine. But the advice she was trying to give, like against what we were saying, what to the clients and the people using Instagram, was like, no, you got to do it this way. What we were talking about was how the Instagram algorithm works. And she's like, well, Instagram hasn't confirmed a change in their algorithm since 2018. And I said, well, if you're assuming that it's operating the same way as it was 3 years ago, like, that, you're a fool. Think, like, reels weren't a thing. Saves weren't a thing. Like, you must be a moron. She's like, well, they haven't confirmed it. And I was just like, well, maybe, like, does Spotify come right out? Hey, it's the quarterly meeting. We have to announce the changes to our algorithm today. That's because we have to. We have to announce the changes. Do you think Google makes an announcement when they change the formula of how they... No, come on, lady. But the thing, what I was getting at was, she's given all this advice on how to create an engaging following and how to get people follow your page, while at the same time, she has 300 followers on Instagram. And it's like, not like... Followers don't mean everything, but what I'm getting at is, like, don't go to a mechanic who can't fix his own fucking car. Don't go to an accountant who can't do his own taxes. Don't go to some Instagram lady telling you how to grow your Instagram when she has 300 followers and she's been posting for a year every other day. Don't go to internet marketing companies who are completely full of shit and haven't actually done anything. They might be saying a lot, but they aren't doing anything. End of rant. James.
What you so what you'll see a lot with these companies, just to add on to a little bit, is they'll post all these big names and they'll say something along the lines of, "We've worked on records with Justin Bieber and SZA." Elliot and I could say that if we wanted to by paying to place those songs on playlists for, without their permission, without them asking. If we actually wanted to do it, we could do that. And then we could be like, "We worked with Jay-Z and his newest hit with Nipsey Hussle and helped him get on Release Radar and Rap Caviar." We didn't help for shit. Yes, we helped because we did something. He didn't ask us to. He didn't pay us to do it. So I'm not even sure they actually do that. I'm just saying if we were to do it, we'd at least do that and be like.
And one last thing. So, okay, I'm somebody who's famous. I'm Justin Bieber. If I am using these other internet marketing companies, do you think that if in doing so, I'm going to make it so, yeah, actually, you know what? Go ahead and put my image all over. Pepsi pays me $10 million a year to use my image on commercials, but you on your website, just go for it, buddy, because you fucking gave me three playlists for $100 and it was a great deal. So you know what? You go for it. Come on, people. Think a little bit harder. Think a little bit harder. If it's too good to be true, it is. All right? Rick Ross is not using the same marketing company that you found on Instagram. one last thing. Now there's people who are like, now like they have these companies and they're like, "Well, you know, I was in the music industry for years. I've helped sell over 50 million albums, or I've helped manage so and so and so and so. And now I'm selling a course for $11. I'm like, "Okay, look. If you sold 80 million records, What are you doing? Like, why aren't you still doing it? If you manage so many big successful artists and they love working with you, why aren't you still working with them? It doesn't make any sense. Come on. All right. Now that's really the end.
Yeah. So I agree with all of that. Ultimately, no, it's what they're doing is not legal by using those name, images, and likenesses of those artists. But they're so small and they're so hard to find because they are scams. If you can't get a refund, just imagine how hard it is to reach out to their hypothetical attorney that they probably don't have and tell them, "Stop using my image. If you don't, I'm going to sue you." And this company is going to go, "Okay, bye." And then they're going to, just like Elliot said, just recycle and do it again. To the point where most of the time they don't even change out the logo. Because it's just like a Spotify logo. That way they don't have to change out the logo.
Which is also against the law.
Yeah. Instead, they just like change a colorway. And not really. They used to use Spotify's colorway and just, "Hey, look at us. Their whole goal, all of their goals, are to get as many people as possible, as fast as possible, before you realize it's a scam, and then they disappear. But even further than those, there's other companies giving advice on like YouTube and stuff. I know Elliot and I really weren't doing this for the past 2 years. I guess we're busy is the best way to say it. Like, we just didn't do this. But even people on here, like the popular ones I see, they're like, 7 steps to making money for your music business. They go, "Step one, make music. Cool. Okay, great. Step two, release it. Great. Okay. What are the next? Like, I don't even want to know the next 5, but I'm going to stay because I'm interested now." Like, and then eventually they're like, "Once you release music and you find fans, do shows." It's like, yeah, no,
no,
duh. Yeah. That's great. Now, where should I do a show? How should I go about it? What's your advice? Elliot and I will give advice. We may not always see eye to eye. Even Elliot and I won't, but other people in us won't. But ultimately, we're giving you advice, what we would recommend doing.
Based on experience, is what we say. Right. Based on experience, not.
Yeah, based on what we've done. I worked with Elliot as he was a musician. We went to LA, we did music videos, we did shows, we did stuff. He was featured on Barstool Sports for a song he did. Like, he got the media attention. Stuff happened. But most of these people, even the newer companies, I won't say any names, who are just literally copying and ripping us off and like posting about stuff. even, you know, like literally like setting up a camera and sitting at a table like Elliot and I did like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and like posting the same video. I was like, hi, I am Brad.
And I am Thad.
And
Brad and Thad.
But they don't have bros. Like, they have no, yeah, they have no history in music right. or anything. They just, there's, hi, that's my name. I'm going to, you should buy playlists from me. If you look at it, none of them are giving you actual advice. They're giving you the generic, very broad, the stuff that you find when you Google, you land on CD Baby's blog, and you go, oh, mm-hmm. You can release music onto Apple Music and get paid per stream?
Fortune cookie advice.
Yeah, it's very, it will apply to everyone. There are questions that Ellie and I won't answer or be able to answer. Like, hypothetically, I think it was the last video we did, or maybe two videos, last Q&A we did, someone asked, what is a good budget to have? There isn't a answer to that. And anyone who gives you an answer is just trying to get money from you. As much money as they can from you. If they're trying to tell you you have to spend $2,000 a month, you're being scammed. Because you don't have to.
Well, even
there's other ways about it.
The thing, like, I won't even necessarily be like, well, then they're scamming you. Because the thing is some people aren't necessarily scamming you, but they're just it's not a good deal. You know, it's not like they're necessarily trying. Some people are definitely trying to scam you. But there are some people who just, they think they're helping, and the client thinks that they're helping because they're getting, it's just, so many people are just telling you what you already know in different words. And I think...
Let me go back for a second. It's not scamming you. What a lot of these people are doing, what we've seen them do, is they're trying to get as much money out of you as possible, as soon as possible. And that's more of what I'm talking about. When people are like, well, we need $3,000 this month. After that, we can do $150 a month.
Right. When you have no more money.
It makes no sense. Because the moment you get the money, if they're good, great. But most likely, they're gone. They won't let you do anything less than what they want. They want as much possible at the beginning. That's often how most of the scams in the industry work. The record label scams, the ones who want to sign you. Just pay us $2,500. Or pay me to listen to your song. And then they disappear. And those things are fine. I don't even know how I got on the subject now. But ultimately, what I was trying to say is, our advice comes from our experience. You don't have to agree with it, but we will keep doing it because we know no one else is going to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, let's get right into it. Not quite right into it, huh? But now we'll get more into it for the Q&A. We do these shows because, it gets good content for us, but the content helps the people who follow us. And today, we got some good questions. Of course, I lost it. Give me 1 second. The question was generally about, with the industry being more of a singles game, you know, every other Friday, every other month or whatever. Like, Russ is always the one that people say, well, he did the single route. And he did. Okay, so their question is, with the music industry going more toward a single market, how does one release an actual album? So, James, you go, what's your take on it?
I think what you're doing when you're releasing singles is getting more people to give you a chance each release. If you're releasing an album, the biggest disadvantage to an album when you're a new artist is people are only going to listen to what's put in front of them. So if they listen to track one, they're probably not going to listen to track 2 through 8. So what singles does is allows you to get them to listen to tracks 2 through 8 by releasing them one at a time. Over time, you'll make a fan base and you'll be able to get people to listen. But at that point is when you think about releasing an album, when you know you can monetize the whole thing to a certain extent. Releasing an album to 1,000 fans means that maybe 200 people will listen to track 8, 9, 10, if you're lucky. That's fans, not even just passive listeners. Releasing an album is something you do after you give people a sample of all types of your music. consistently and show them that, hey, you've liked everything I put out for the past year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. I put out a song every month, and every single one you've listened and you've saved. I'm going to put an album out now because you know that everything I put out, you like it. So now you're more likely to listen to the whole thing. You're trying to better your odds when it comes to getting people to listen.
Yeah. I really don't see why. I get, okay, so I'm from the musician perspective. I totally understand, like, hey, this is my full thought process. This is my full project. It's all meant to go together, and that's how people should listen to it. Like, yep, that would be great if that's how everyone listened to music, but it's not. Musicians often forget to think about their own listening habits. When's the last time you sat and listened to a full album of someone you weren't already committed to, like, liking? And I bet the last time it was someone that was brand new, it was someone who came out to ended up being huge. Ed Sheeran's first album. You're like, wow, this was really good. Kendrick Lamar's album. Wow, who is this? The top 1%. Even now, look at the artists who are putting out full projects. Eminem, DaBaby, Big Sean, Adele, Jay-Z. And even when they do, it's often a year and a half or 2 years in between. Adele's only put out 3 studio albums to this day. And they're out every 3 or 4 years. What I'm getting at is people will only commit to listening to a full album if they're already a fan or already paying attention. A lot of people that check out full albums might want to do it because they don't like the artist. I know Eminem has a shit ton of people that don't like him, and people listen to the whole thing so that they can pander it. But there's a huge audience. And if you're trying to build an audience, I understand the thought process of, hey, look, if I put out an album and it's got 12 awesome songs, that's going to spread around and people are going to like it. And when they find me, there's going to be a bunch of music here that they're going to be able to listen to and see my whole array of feelings and everything I'm doing here. That might happen a little bit, but that's not the right way to go about it anymore. Even back when I was in high school, it was still mixtapes. Kid Cudi had a mixtape. You'd find the mixtape, you'd hear a couple songs, and you'd listen to the whole thing. Big Sean, Wale, Asher Roth, B.O.B., they all had full projects. Lil Wayne had a fucking shit ton of them. But now, people don't listen to music that way anymore. The last album or full project like that I can think of that actually did something was Acid Rap, when it was like this out of nowhere full project that was awesome and people listened to the full project. Since then, I don't know of anybody. Maybe DaBaby when he came, like, but how did DaBaby start? DaBaby's relatively new to the mainstream, right? When did he start? Was it, hey, this guy I've never heard of has this amazing album, you got to check it out? Or was it one song that kind of got popular, then another, and then slowly another one? And then he had an audience that he then released an album to. So there's that. Two is nowadays, with it all being digital distribution, and it's so easy to, if I want to put out 12 singles this year, one a month, and at the end of the year, I'm going to pick the 8 I like the best and put it on as an album. You can very easily do that. It's not like a one and done release and that you can never do anything with it again. You could always put out 15 songs and put the ones that fit onto an EP once they're released already. And lastly, if you release an album in terms of impacting Spotify, when you're releasing an album, you have one big shot at If you're releasing an album, you have one big shot at hitting that algorithm, because it's saying all of this music is new right now. Which song do I pick? I don't know. Who do I promote this to? I don't know. So if you're a new artist without much of an audience, and let's say, I would say anything under 25,000 monthly listeners consistently, not like, oh, well, last June I got it once and now I'm back to 3,000. Nope. Consistently. Every month, if you don't have a big group of people that will listen to your music without you spending a dime, you are in no position to release a full project. I mean, go for it. Artistically, sure, go for it. But if we're talking like, hey, I want to set up the absolute best way to release new music, and I don't care necessarily the strategy, what is it? It's not say, you're a nobody, let's build a huge audience with this album from someone that nobody knows. It'd be song at a time, one song, put it out, release it, market it, see where that song, at first you're going to say, okay, pretend I'm a hip hop artist. And I'm going to say, I don't know where my audience is because I don't have an audience, period. You put out one song, you market it, you might start to see, okay, look, it seems like people in these cities seem to like it from, and it's guys who are 25 to 29 right now seem to like it the most. Well then, okay, so step number two is, okay, now I have a new song, but now I'm not going in completely blind. So when I'm releasing song number two, not only do you now have an idea a little bit as to, hey, it looks like it's these three or four cities from guys this age. Even that is better than I have no fucking idea. The more you know about it, the more Spotify is going to start to know. So if on song number one, you don't have much of an audience at all, and it doesn't know where to place you, it's not going to place you anywhere. But if you can get that song up and it starts to learn that people in these three or four cities who are this old seem to like your music, when song number two comes and is ready to go, guess who they're going to put it in front of? And then you rinse, repeat. And each time you put out a song, there's no, oh, every 3 weeks is when you got to put out a single. And, oh yeah, and yeah, we're not supposed to ramble. So I'm going to wrap this up and we're going to go on to another question. Singles are the most effective way because you're going to start to be able to test the audience and figure out where each song is working and then refine your system each release you have while teaching Spotify along the way. So singles is the way to go until you have a big audience that you then release an album to. You don't use an album to build an audience anymore.
Good job. You answered the question.
8 hours, but yeah. You got some good questions. We've been seeing James do his Q&A on his Instagram. Follow him at James Landry with a little underscore at the end there. He does Q&As all the time, or you can ask, you know, personal questions about perhaps a contract or something that you have that you need a question about. So James, what are some questions that you've been seeing on your Instagram that you think would be good to go over today?
Yeah, I've got one I did not answer because it's more in your
wheelhouse. More talking for me. Great.
yeah. What are some methods to get people to click the link in your bio?
Definitely just spam people again and again saying link in my bio. Oh, that's the right answer, right?
That's what everyone thinks is the right answer. I've received, okay, just let me look right now. Since I posted yesterday saying, have you ever clicked on a link in the bio when people message you? I've received 21 people either saying yes or sending me the link in their bio. I don't know if that works on anyone. Like, if you're, the best way I can put this is if you do something to get my attention and I want to hear more, I'm going to assume there's a link in your bio. And if I click on it and the link doesn't take me to your music or to what I'm looking for, I'm not looking for it. I'm not going to message you. I'm not going to ask. I'm not looking for it. You do something to get my attention, I will go look for the link. I've done it. I've gone before and gone, hey, he was wearing a cool shirt. Let me go see if he's selling these shirts. This artist is selling this. Let me go. I go click on the link and the link's like, I don't even know.
The like, DistroKid.
I've had it before.
Page,
I clicked on the link. Yeah. It was, yeah, I've had that. And if I click on it and it's that, and it's like, save my song, pre-save, I get mad. I'm like, no. That's not why I'm here. If I am here to look for everything, that link should have everything that I may be looking for. If I'm looking for merchandise, that link should be there. Elliot and I both use Linktree to kind of give everything. Are you looking for what DeNovo does? Are you looking at what Songflower does? Are you looking for our YouTube? That's all here to make it easy.
So it's all there because we have to generate interest in the content to make you want to click the link and find what you might be interested in. That's the key. It's not, you make sure you tell them at the beginning of the caption instead of the end to click the link in your bio. That's not it. Like, mention if you're going to say, hey, learn more about this. Here's why you should learn more about this. Like, whatever. Or if you liked my video here, like, find the full video version. Stumbling over my words here. But find the full version in the link in my bio. Like, yeah, telling them where they can find more information, sure. But generating the interest in them to want to go find new information is what you got to do. It's not, the ad would have been great if you just said, click the link in my bio. Or, like, if you think that's going to make or break the ad, don't. That's a foolish thought. The content or your brand or whatever it is you're doing that you're trying to get attention for has to inherently create that interest for someone to want to click the link in your bio. That's the game. It's not learn more or shop now or what. That's not the perspective you got to be looking for. You got to think bigger.
Yeah, I get often, I don't see DeNovo's, I'm sure you get it all the time too. People will DM us, even if we don't follow these people, they'll DM us with a screenshot of the album cover or like a screenshot of the video and a link. And they'll be like, new song platforms just released. I don't care at all. Sweet. Yeah, on all platforms. If you're going to spend the time to DM people, make sure you DM only the people that follow you. They're following you for a reason. DM those people. See if they, at most, DM those people and see if they are interested in a new song if they haven't heard it. And not that way. Thank them for following you. Let them know you have a new song that just came out. Don't just spam them. Don't spam random people. I don't care. I won't remember if you did it unless you really piss me off somehow. It's gone already. Like, you've done it. Cool. Bye. I don't need this. Spamming us isn't a way. Instead of asking to click the link in the bio, make an ad that makes people want to click the link. Give them something that they don't have. Interest them in some way. I've seen, I posted about it. Damon, yeah. We talked to him before. We haven't talked to him in a while, but he posted, he was like, here's my two album covers. I'm deciding, should we do light or dark? Vote. That was good content. That was run as an ad. Let people, why not? Let people That's land cool. on yeah, their, right. oh, to, what is this? Oh, to vote. I'll pick this one. Even if they don't do anything else, they've now invested in you a little bit. Now they know of who you are. They spent a little time. That was better than anything. The odds of them leaving that and going to click on a link are pretty slim, but it might work. That's much better than if he just posted the album cover and said, click on the link in the bio. I guarantee you people aren't going to click on it. Yeah, that was great. I liked that. I'm sure there's been some other ones. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but that was a different way. Now I'm going to see it. You know, we're going to see
Instagram
this for the next,
is listening.
2 months. Everyone's going to be doing the same thing. That was a good way to get people interested or intrigued in what you're doing. Maybe they went and clicked on the song. Maybe not. Maybe next time they see the album cover, though, they're going to go, hey, I remember this. They don't have to remember anything else. Now you've got them invested in you slightly, just enough that it might make a difference. You're building awareness. No one builds awareness by spamming people. You're not building awareness. That's not going to help you. I sent DMs to 10,000 people yesterday. Not a single one of them is actually going to click on that link. Most of them actually are probably going to respond with their right. own and say the same thing.
If anything, when I get those on DeNovo, it just pisses me off. And it's like, they didn't even say, hi, hey, how you doing? It's just new song out now. Like, You right, you and 39,999 other songs today. Sweet, you're totally different. Oh, it's available on all platforms? Wow, did you just hit one box on DistroKid or did, come on, it, like that's not hard to do. Come on, guys. And one thing I did like, I found some ad the other day. It was some guy who was a singer and it was just him chilling, walking around, talking to the camera saying, hey, how you doing, everybody? My name's so-and-so and I'm a singer and I live in Florida and my music is a lot like Bruno Mars and so-and-so-and-so. And if you check it out, I bet you'll like it. And he like swipe up. And I was like, that caught my attention more than like the album cover from someone I don't even look. I can't even keep up with the music of the artists I want to keep up with. Why am I going to take time out of my day to check out your album from someone I don't know? I don't know you. I don't care where your album is available. I assume it should be available everywhere. Available on all platforms is not a bonus. It is not a feature. It is not a selling point. Link in my bio is not a feature. It is not, does not make you unique. These are inherent things that people expect of you anyway. That's like saying, hey, come on down to my car shop. This car drives. Well, that's kind of the fucking point, isn't it? Like, if you're making music, if I'm a consumer, I'm kind of expecting it to be everywhere. It'd be stupid to be like, only on Tidal. Okay, like, well, if you're not Jay-Z, that doesn't really work for you. And guess what? It didn't work for him either. Next question.
Yeah. Let me get another question so we don't keep going with that.
Actually, here, we can, we'll take a little break and we'll be right back. We're going to gather some questions. We'll be back.
The Business of Music Podcast, presented by DeNoval Agency. DeNovalAgency.com.
If you are a musician, producer, audio engineer, record label owner, or anyone with a music business, you know that getting off of the ground and actually making a profit in the music industry is not easy. Chances are that you have quality music or offer a quality service, but are still struggling to cover your bottom line. Why? Because making great music and running a music business costs a lot of money. That's why at DeNovo Agency, we want to offer our help in transforming your music hobby into a profitable music business. Six Steps to a Profitable Fan Base is our brand new ebook that teaches you how to use data to find a target audience, effectively promote on streaming platforms and social media, engage with your audience, and how to turn listeners into fans that can make your business more profitable. Our ebook is written by an entertainment attorney and a former musician to show other musicians everything they need to know about owning and growing a music business. Six Steps to a Profitable Fan Base is available for just $9.99 on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and DeNovoAgency.com. Get your copy today.
The Business of Music Podcast.
All right. Hey, welcome back. I got a good question here for James. I think this is a good James question. Now, when I do the Q&A on Instagram, when they send the questions, it doesn't say their username, unfortunately. I wish I could tag people, but whatever. Somebody asks, how do you get started in a career in the music business if you're not an artist? And they say, like internships at labels.
Yeah, so largely, it depends on what you want to do in the industry. If you're a producer or you want to be an engineer, you should be shadowing someone. Producers almost just kind of get started by doing it and working on it. But if you're trying to get into a label and you want to do marketing or something like that, your best bet is to get experience and education in that area. So for example, if you want to be a intern for the marketing department at Roc Nation, I know they're always hiring interns. I actually, when I tried to get an internship at Roc Nation back in the day, here's my story. I wanted to find a way to get in and get an internship at Roc Nation. And they were advertising one. And I applied, but obviously they get probably thousands of applicants. So what I did is I went on to Whois Lookup and looked up who registered the domain for Roc Nation, found the email, and then emailed that guy and was like, hey, I want an intern here. Who should I talk to? And he responded by saying, "I don't know how you got my email, but I'm very impressed. Happy to talk." And they actually eventually offered me an internship at Roc Nation. But I was in New York City and they weren't paying anything. So largely my tips would be stand out somehow. Have the experience they need. Don't go there thinking they're going to teach you because they're not. Internships, yes, are supposed to be for learning, but they're really for a cheaper way for them to hire people. And number three, sadly, is you need money to be able to do them because most of them are unpaid and they're in big cities. They're in New York City, they're in Atlanta, they're in Miami, they're in LA. So an internship won't be your only job, but that's how you get in. If you're able to do it, that's how you get into those major labels. Largely, most people can't do that. And that's why you have to kind of do it on your own. If you want to be an engineer, go to find a studio and shadow one. Learn from him. Let him teach you. If you want to be a producer, do your own beats. Learn how to do stuff on the computer. Watch videos and just take in information. And as you take in the information, always be networking. Right now, Clubhouse is pretty popular, but it's odd. Clubhouse is a good networking tool. Obviously, I don't fully support them in their model, but it would work for people who want to get in front of others and listen to others and connect with others. I often get on phone calls with law students and I'll talk to them for a little bit. I've been on phone calls with Lee Steinberg, a sports agent before. He's the one who Tom Cruise is based off of.
Show me the money, Jerry Maguire.
I can't even think of it. Yes. Thank you, Jerry Maguire. Yeah. What he used to do with students, he probably still does, is he'll allow them to all call into a conference line and he'll just talk for a little while. And so you can get some advice and experience from him. And then at the end, he'll kind of tell you who to talk to if you're interested in interning with him. But again, that's an unpaid job. So any of these bigger companies are probably going to be unpaid unless you provide a value to them. That's when they'll pay. That's why it depends. If you're just trying to do marketing and social media and stuff like that, you're not going to get paid. But if you can do video production, if you can do audio production, if you can do help with recording and stuff like that, or you're going to be someone's personal assistant, you might get paid. Most major labels, even if you have a law degree, you end up starting out as a mail clerk. Yeah. So education's not going to be the secret.
What I was
going to
say was you can't think your way into it. You have to perform your way into it, because they're, it's not like they're looking for the next great formula in some sort of pharmaceutical company or something where, oh wow, this really really smart person broke to the top because they were thinking in a different way. It's performance. Being an agent, being a manager, that side of things is very much like a sales performing. Doesn't necessarily matter how you do it. It's about the results. What works for you is going to be totally different than what works for somebody else, probably. And there is no golden recipe to get in and break your way. But the way James and I did was we made our, we didn't ask anybody to become a part of it. We just started doing our thing and kind of created some noise. And now we have people that listen. Do I think anybody way up in the music industry has any fucking idea who De Novo Agency is? I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be totally shocked, I guess. But, like, I'd be pretty surprised if anyone at Interscope Records knew who the fuck I was. So, but what I'm getting at is there are so many different levels to the music industry. And on a local level, you could, like, work together with five or six of the venues and be the go-to person to help them all book five or six bands. And you can just be that point of contact. And like you, all of a sudden you have a little music business. It doesn't need to be, oh, across the world and I'm performing in Tokyo. And if not, I'm a bum. No, like start small, start like with what you have available. And if what you have available is a network, use it. If what you have available is a talent, use it. If you want to be a producer, then produce. If you want to be an engineer, find shit to do. Do it for free. Because no one's going to pay you until you can show, hey, this is what you're paying for. So, yeah, be ready to grind. Like James and I did the 12-hour days of building our website and doing bullshit.
for a year and a half before we really had something going on enough to the point where like, hey, this is really working. It's not like one day this just clicked. You know, we both had other jobs for a long time before we like really did this full time. And kind of the same, like if you want to do this on your own, like you're going to probably have to supplement it with something. So just be prepared. But it's the same as if, okay, you want to be in the movie industry. What do you do? Probably start at a fucking mail clerk somewhere doing grunt work, cleaning the toilets. I don't know. But this idea that you're just going to, oh, wow, you're smart. Here's a mid-level manager job at when you're 22. Keep dreaming.
Yeah, it sucks to say, but it really is all based on, do you have money to live that you don't need an income? If you're trying to break into those major places, or do you know someone? Without those two things, or one of those things, you're not going to be able to live and break into a major label without other experience. Like at this point, I know Elliot said that people probably don't know us, but I know they do. I know enough of them do at this point, that Elliot and I probably barely could walk into a major label and get a paid role without having to still go through the steps that they want. Even with everything we have and everything I've done, and I'm a lawyer, I've actually worked on cases and contracts against these labels, but they would still probably hire me as a law clerk or intern first because I don't do it their way. And a lot of this is doing it their way. That's also why there's so many independent labels out there, because so many people just do their own thing eventually because they realize they can't break into these major labels. It's next to impossible without being there and knowing someone.
And a following or some sort of leverage that you've created for yourself.
Yeah. Well, even that, if you think about like my favorite example, the guy I always talk about, Rob Barker, isn't that his name? Parker? Barker. Taylor Swift's former manager that he always is posting. He's the former manager. If he was that successful as a manager, you would think that a label would hire him and he'd be able to step right in and just keep getting paid as a consultant, as a manager. He isn't at one. And if he isn't at one and he claims because he makes more money outside of it, I very doubtful, because labels hire managers that they can then just take a percentage of because it saves money. Labels are literally hiring every position in a company. Labels hire these A&Rs who then go out and get outside investments on a song to get a song big, and then they pay the A&R every time they place the artist. So like, if you're trying to break into a label or a bigger company, it is give them something they want. Do you have an artist signed to you and they want that artist? You can probably get a job. Are you AWOL and you have 15% of all these people's money? Oh, you start AWOL, but you want to be working here? Here you go. Here's a job. Give us that 15%. Here's a job. If I wanted to sign to another law firm, they would ask me for a percent of everything else I have coming in. Because what they would say is they're going to help me get more business. And that's no different than what the labels are going to do. So don't go to a label asking for help. Go to a label offering something they want. Yeah. Always. I read a book last week, I think. And the biggest takeaway from that book was you never go to an interview asking for something. You go to an interview and you ask them, what can I do for you? Because by doing that, you're saying, I am here for you. I want to help you. I don't care. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for this. I'm saying, what can I do for you? Because if I can show you I can do something for you, you're more likely to hire me. I read like a 350-page book and took that out of it. That was it. But do we have another question here? Or I'll just round up.
I just had it. Pictures. I feel like I'm 100 years old. How do I use this?
Oop.
We've answered a lot of these questions before.
Yeah, a lot of mine are that way this time. I've noticed I get a lot of questions from people on Sunday mornings.
I'm a new rapper without a budget, and I'm not that good. How can I grow a fan base? I remember what I answered on Instagram, like right on the story. I said, do something ridiculous on the internet. What a funny question. Okay, hey,
Tekashi 69.
I'm a little bit of a predicament here, so I'm a new rapper. I don't have much of a budget, and I'm not that good. Oh, man. I don't know, man. You tell me. That's so funny. Okay, you know what? I think we're just going to end it on that good laugh right there. Yeah, goodbye.
The Business of Music Podcast, presented by DeNoval Agency. DeNovalAgency.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Business of Music Podcast. We love to hear feedback. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on the next episode. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel to learn even more and check out denovoagency.com to see how we can help you grow your music business. Until next time, this has been the Business of Music Podcast.